This is North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and welcome to our program. Here every single day talking about some of the issues of the day and updating folks on some of the news stories. And Rick, welcome. And it looks like we're in for a stretch of some cooler weather here on the North Shore, but fair weather, and so we'll take it. And our playoff pitcher, some of our sports playoff news we'll get to as well. St. Mary's boys and girls soccer winning over the weekend, and some other teams winning as well, including, well, the Marblehead girls have a game, so do the Masconomet boys tonight at Manning Field. But this was a pretty good weekend overall for many North Shore teams. One exception to that, I guess, was the Peabody girls losing last night, but the Swampscott boys also captured a North title in soccer. So there we go, and Rick, around the North Shore in news today.
Well, not earth-shattering stuff like happened overseas. A crazy weekend, I'm sure, that many people were watching the TV from Friday night on. It was bizarre. But interesting article by Paul Layton. I'm guessing it's in the Salem News. It's in the Gloucester Times about the sports complex being built at Essex Tech High School. And apparently there's some controversy over the way the bid was put out, or not put out, I guess. It was supposed to be a public bid, but it went for no bid. And according to Paul, a longtime Beacon Hill lobbyist and Essex Tech legal consultant, helped push through the legislation, getting the building built with no bid while drawing paychecks from both the school district and the developer. So stay tuned for more on that from Paul Layton. I'm not sure there's anything really bad about it, but it does look interesting to say the least. And there's a famous, or at least locally famous, bookstore up in Rockport called Toad Hall that's in a little financial trouble due to the economy and due to the fact that building needs repair and so on. So it's struggling, and there's a hint that the Toad Hall might be in trouble staying open. So that would be interesting, I think, to a lot of local people. And finally, Bill, Shallon Liu, there's an article on that. The director, executive director of Rockport Music, has a reflection in the paper in the Gloucester Times with Gail McCarthy about his first 5 years at Shallon Liu and the first 5 years of Shambles. Amazing concert hall. I don't know if you've ever been there. We've seen a couple of concerts there, most recently last November with Mary Chapin Carpenter. And it's just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful concert hall. And I guess it's one of the most amazing acoustic theaters in the world. It was designed, you know, with acoustics in mind. But the way that it looks out over Rockport Harbor, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. While you were talking about the bookstore, there's a story in today's item, a front page story, little features. They do these blocks of features on the front page now in the item. But it's from Marblehead, let me just read the first little bit of it. It's about Kenneth Gloss. Frequent guest on the Antiques Roadshow, Gloss will be appearing at the Marblehead Museum on Thursday at 7 o'clock. The Brattle Street Bookstore owner's appearance is a chance for the attendees who have some rare books to have a chance to meet with him. But it's Kenneth Gloss. He'll be at the Marblehead Museum on Thursday of this week. So, and that's at 7 o'clock.
We also talked with an author and the Gloucester Times food editor. Josh Arnold talked with her on Friday on Trending Now, and I invite people to take a listen to Trending Now. Terrific interview, and several other interviews up there as well. But a lot of local information that we've got to get out there, and we're going to be connecting with authors and artists and all kinds of people all over the North Shore on this program and on the website in days to come.
And our football coverage this weekend, our plan is to bring you the Danvers-Melrose game, which is the Division III state semifinal game. It'll be played at Manning Field Friday night at 7 o'clock, and you'll be able to at least hear that game for sure. I'm not sure if we'll be video streaming that, but we'll be broadcasting that game on Friday night from Manning Field and Lynn. That's certainly the big game on the North Shore. Also, Essex Tech won their postseason playoff game as well. I think they're playing way down in Brockton for their semifinal game, which is, I guess those things happen. But anyways, they'll be on the road big time. Good luck. We were talking about Essex Tech. Good luck to the Hawks on that one.
Right. And Danvers, as you said, playing Melrose at Manning. Should Danvers win, and we're pulling for Danvers, obviously, being fans of the conference, then that will mean that they will have to play Gloucester on Thursday, the following Thursday, and then the Super Bowl on the first Saturday in December. So good luck to the Falcons. What a terrific year, and what a great defense they have as well.
The other thing, too, is the game that we broadcast on Friday night, the tournament game, was a St. Mary's game. They won. They won big over to Greater Lowell. So their next game is against East Bridgewater, and they'll be playing Saturday at noontime at Cauley Field and in Lowell. That's their next game in the tournament, Division Five tournament. So,
yeah. Congratulations to the Manchester Essex girls teams. Their field hockey team was beaten by the world-famous Watertown team that's won like 6 million games in a row, and they were featured on Mike Lynch's High Five a couple of weeks ago. And then the Manchester Essex girls soccer team was also squeezed out of the tournament. As you mentioned, St. Mary's beating them 1-0.
Yeah, that Watertown streak is 158 games unbeaten for Watertown field hockey. So, you know, I was looking around the scores for that game over the weekend. We were tracking scores and putting some posts up on the website, and that began, wait a minute, that's that team. They're playing that team. Oh, no. So,
forget about it.
There's so many things going around that, of course, Manchester Essex knew what they were up against, but I think there was a 4-0 score, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, but that's, well, if you're going to play someone, you might as well play the best in it, you know, then whatever. So, and they just happened to be in that north bracket as well, obviously. So,
did you see that feature that Mike Lynch did on Channel 5 on Watertown?
You know, I think I did. That was a few weeks ago. I know he did one this weekend on the Everett football team. I saw that, this weekend. So, no,
the one on Watertown. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I'm done.
Well, the one on Watertown was amazing because they had generation after generation of women there with their children and so on. Who were all involved in that winning streak at the High Five site. And it was really funny to watch because some of the young moms who were there, former players, they had their little babies with them and the present players were there. It was quite a thing to watch. And I must say, as much as I was disappointed and crushed that Peabody lost in the last minute to Everett, the Channel 5 High Five thing on Everett was very cool. It showed Lynch does such a great job with kids, and you just wish that more of the Boston stations would do a little bit more of that, although, you know, that might take away from what we do. But it was a really good show on the Everett High Five.
All right, Rick, so as we continue along on this Monday here on Noah Shore Today, taking a look at some of the other stories, I guess, Rick, as you were alluding to earlier, one of the big stories, two stories, I guess, the Democratic debate on Saturday night, I saw where the ratings were, to no surprise, very low for that because you've got college football going on Saturday night, and you also have these other news stories breaking from Paris, as we know. But they did change the format of the debate to reflect the international concerns on terrorism and safety and so on. So they did shift some of the content of the debate, but still, apparently 8 million viewers, so that was down from their previous debate and certainly way off from some of the Republican debates on the cable news channels, but it was on CBS TV. So you have that story, and you also have the tragedy in Paris, but I am struck by the swift and strong response from the French government following those attacks on Friday.
I think the big important part of all of that, Bill, is how Russia is going to become involved in this, and there's a couple of things that I'd like to mention that you bring to mind. I did watch a little bit of the debate, and I was struck by the insistence of the moderator to bring out the term, the rhetoric, extreme, what was it, Islamic extremists, why you wouldn't use that term to the candidates. And each of the candidates responded by saying, well, extremists, yes, but we're not at war with Islam. And, you know, it reminds me of the conflict that was going on in Northern Ireland a couple of decades ago and a decade ago, involving Protestants and Catholics. And the rhetoric to me is, I don't know why the media gets so hung up on that, but they do. And so that's kind of interesting. And I noticed that right wing versus left wing is involved in rhetoric as well. But the French response was quick. You know, in Syria, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Russia because it seems as though they're posturing to maybe change their policy in Syria. They've been very supportive of the Syrian regime, what's his name, President Assad, mm-hmm. in attacking the rebels and saying that they've been going after ISIS when at least Western news reports are saying they're not really attacking ISIS. They're attacking those against Assad. So let's see what happens with that. Reports, excuse me, at least in the media, indicate that Putin and the Russians are very, very angry about ISIS and what they did with that airliner. So maybe this will be a concerted effort by more people to stop this ridiculous barbarism, as it was called the other night, and this insanity, I guess. And the other problem, Bill, is that, you know, these people go around and they claim, you know, a cause, they fight for a cause, and yet they don't wear uniforms. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult fight to be sure, but I think maybe the attention has now changed a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think, Rick, I know the Islamic extremist label to me is that all of these people are claiming to be is from the religion Islam, and they are extremists. They're not Christian extremists. They're not Hindu or whatever extremists. They are Islamic extremists, and I think it's a war of ideology or a war of ideas. And I think that these people are getting, through the social media, are getting converted, so to speak, you know, joining this cause under the guise of Islam, which is under extreme Islam. So I do think you need to label it that, because I think because you can't have a healthy discussion unless you can really label what it is. And I think that's one of the, you know, we're just, you know, that... That's what I think France is realizing right now, and a lot of the other people in the world are realizing that we've got to be. If you're going to do this, you got to go after it. And I'm hearing rhetoric from people that I never expected to hear this kind of rhetoric from, but unfortunately, it takes 150 people to die, or 130, whatever it is, and then another 400 to get injured. When in fact, you know, this has been going on for quite a while now, and it seems to me that this, you know, they've been telling us they're going to do this. They do it. They're telling us now. Washington is on. They're targeting Washington now, in their latest information this morning. So, I mean, I think we ought to be a pretty alert about this. And you know, I think, and you know, especially if you know people in the cities, you know, this just should be very troubling to folks.
Well, it is. I mean, and what struck me is that we are, in fact, this is a world war. It's not all across the globe, but it's certainly targeting many countries, at least in the Western Hemisphere, and you know, so it's a global conflict. And I think what upsets me is, you know, a former Army guy, and my dad was long-term military, is the fact again that, you know, these people won't wear uniforms. They hide behind skirts and they hide behind diapers and things like that. So, you know, what the hell kind of a platform are they on? What are they fighting for? Where there is no such thing as honor. It's just pure ass. I want to kill people. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't care what you label them, but you know, I'm not a hawk. I would say, but this, you know, we're at war, and this there aren't any rules, and so you know, this. They're going to be exterminated. And from what I'm seeing, you know, they're subhuman. They're not even human.
Right. I would agree with that. And so I think, unfortunately, it takes these moments, I think, for to galvanize folks and to be thinking this way. And so, because I think we've kind of lost sight on this, and ISIS has kind of grown kind of unchecked, completely unchecked. And they are now, I was watching one of the news programs this weekend. I mean, there is no comparison between Al-Qaeda and ISIS now. Absolutely no comparison. ISIS has overtaken them by factors of X or whatever. And so there's just no comparison between these two. And this has happened in the last – it's really all happened in the last 2 years. They weren't around 2 years ago.
And their base of operations has primarily been Syria. So, you know, things have got to change. Simple. It's as simple as that.
And all over now, you know. So, all right. So, Rick, that's our terrorist talk, I guess, here today. So, but again, we're ramping up. We've got Thanksgiving football coming up in a little over a week, and We got Rick Moore has got to get rid of this cold that he has.
I'm sorry. I know it's such a pain. I'm driving everybody crazy, and it's such awful to listen to. I mean, at least at ESX we had those pots you could turn the attenuators down, you know. But some of this stuff I end up coughing. Yeah, I'll get rid of it. It's been about 7 days now, so I got probably 3 days left.
All right. Okay. All right, and again, just a quick note on our football broadcast this Friday night. We're in the Division III state semifinals, and it will be Melrose and Danvers this Friday night from Manning Field in Lynn, and it's all here live on MSONewsSports.com. So along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on North Shore Today.